How are you guys doing?
Really good.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Welcome to the Electric Theater. You guys in Canada?
We are. Montreal.
Montreal. How's the weather?
Nice today. It really sucks.
We got a little lucky this week with weather.
Yeah, us too. I'm calling from Des Moines, Iowa, so, you know, middle of the United States, and we got real lucky this week too. It's just beautiful. It's unbelievable, but it's going to be short-lived. We're going to get our asses handed to us soon. I can smell it in the air.
Yep.
Well, hey, I wanted to, Doyle, you and I, we met so long ago. Do you remember this? I think it was like 2000 or 99.
Was it at the Gibson Amphitheater?
Yeah, it was some old school place in New York, if I remember right. Those days are sort of a blur, but I totally remember meeting you for a brief moment, and I believe you came to the show.
I don't know. memory loss now.
Immediately.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. It was light years ago. We were basically brand new into the world. And long time ago, we used to, when we were coming up, we used to do a lot of songs that weren't ours before we were signed, you know, just in practice. And I used to play drums to Hybrid Moments and like just a lot of different things that we would do. So I remember that day. Only because, you know, it was always sort of crazy to meet, you know, witness people or just see people in the same vicinity that, you know, you had listened to and disappeared to sort of. And then all of a sudden, you know, you get taken from Des Moines, Iowa, and you're in New York for the first time. And you're just like, what? You know, so I remember it pretty cool. It was a long time ago, though. Long time ago.
Yeah, when I meet people that are famous to me and they know my name, my mind is just fucking blown. I'm like, what? You know who the fuck I am? Get out of here.
Yeah, it's always been a weird thing. Hey, I want to jump in with both of you. I always try to get some sort of like, I try to get some sort of theme to like what I want to talk about, what's different, and maybe, you know, a little bit different of a conversation than normally, because I get so frustrated with press and just the way everybody operates their agenda. And it just frustrates me because I've been doing this 25 years and hardly anyone's ever asked me anything I ever wanted to talk about or anything I wanted to say. You know, and after a while, you wonder what the real agenda is. So I try to make this show just about a conversation. And hopefully a conversation is a little unique and different. But I was thinking, since they told me that I was going to be doing it with both of you, I was like, okay, you know, at first I was like, that's really cool. I was, you know, kind of like, okay, two people at once on the Electric Theater. It's the first time. So I didn't really know how to approach it. But then it kind of dawned on me with both of you, I wanted to jump in on like this idea of dedication to your art. So when I perform, obviously we have our masks, we have our outfits, and we have our things. And both of you are extreme, in my opinion, on keeping the fundamental idea to your, you know, your art. I mean, Doyle, you've been so dedicated to sort of, if I can, and I don't want to, I'm not trying to explain, I'm just telling you what I feel, but like you've been dedicated to a mindset around a specific sort of art and look. And Alicia, you've done the same thing with, like I was checking out all your outfits, and I don't know how many outfits you own or how many outfits you've had to put together, but I don't know. Right. Like, I don't know if fans would ever like put it together in their mind, like how much time it takes to put something together and then to feel right in it, to accept it, to look at it and make sure it's part of the zone. So totally. Yeah, talk about that. Both of you talk about that.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great concept for the three of us to discuss, actually, because having witnessed you play and witnessed Doyle play in both the Misfits and in Doyle. And I've also been to like every Arch Enemy show for the past few years. you know, it's something that's super important to some performers and not that important to other performers. And so I think about that a lot. And I've been dealing with that a lot recently, trying to come up with, like you said, like new exciting ideas that fit what I want to do. I can't think of like what the name for that style is. I don't know what the genre for that style is. It's hard to explain to someone else, but I just know when it's right. And there's actually a concept called enclosed cognition. I don't know if you've heard of this, but it's super fascinating to me because it's basically the concept that what you dress someone in actually affects their performance in that field. And so if you dress people in lab coats, they're going to score better on like a test to enter med school, for example. If you dress someone in painter's smocks, they're going to be artistically better. So just knowing that you look a certain way to others actually affects the way that you perform in your tasks. And it's super fascinating. There's only been a small amount of studies done on it, but that same person given that painter's smock or that lab coat, if they're alone and nobody sees them, now their performance doesn't improve. So it's really just knowing that you're projecting this image outwards that gives you that sort of boost of confidence or allows you to become someone else, I guess. I don't know. What do you think?
It just kept it like Albert Einstein. Same shit every day. No matter what the fuck I'm doing, that's it. I don't have to think about it. And when she does her costume, she's going out of her mind. It's so hard to make them.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's on time. And
it's frustrating. But it's a labor of love, though. I can't really imagine. You know, I can't, that old nightmare that people say they have where they didn't study for a test and then they have to go to school or they show up in their underwear in front of the class or whatever. I have nightmares that I didn't prepare a new outfit and then I have to perform. And it's not, and to me, that's not the whole show. Like, I want to make sure that I'm giving people a visual experience as well as hearing the songs that they like. That's this sort of, you know, 360 degrees of an experience that I want to give. And I know that Slipknot gives that too, like above and beyond almost every other band I can think of.
It's got to be the hardest thing to wear when you guys wear the jumpsuit and the mask all night. Oh,
shit. Well, it's definitely, I mean, it shows, like I was looking at your outfits and I probably stopped at about 100 because I don't try to go find things, you know, I don't like try to find the words. I just let my intuition kind of like speak for my brain, you know, like go for it. And I was just looking and I can't say I saw that you repeated anything. I wasn't looking to see, but that's why I was like, wow, that dedication is so hardcore. I would hope that people would recognize that because it might be something on the surface because of the excitement of the music and the electricity in the air with the everything that's going on with the show, you might not be able to hone in on those ideas. But honestly, I mean, I kept going deeper and deeper and it just kept changing more and more and more and more. And then when I would go on the other side with you, Doyle, it stayed and stayed. And that became harder and harder and harder as well. And, you know, I look at my own situation, and I've been in therapy probably most of my life. And my therapist, she always tells me that I only tell the truth when I'm wearing the mask. And I won't go any further into it than that because it might, I don't know, it could get me in trouble. It could get me into all kinds of things. But she's absolutely right because I never felt like I turned into somebody else. I just feel like I am me. You know,
I
absolutely believe in what you were talking about the lab coats because I turn into something, I don't know, I turn into a structure, you know, I mold myself, but when all that goes on, I really do become myself in a really confident way. And I know it I know my body language, and I know my temperature and the art saturation that I'm throwing people. We call it in Slipknot, we call it throwing shapes. So it's like,
right,
we're throwing these shapes at other humans, and I know they're feeling it because they're obtaining it, they're downloading it, and then they're returning the shapes to me. And sometimes mm-hmm. their shapes throw me down, you know? So it can be such a struggle to feel sometimes. I mean, what do you guys ever struggle? I don't want to use like the word, I mean, I can use it, which I think is another thing that's like I wanted to bring up. And again, you know, it's just hopefully these are, you know, understandable like ideas that I'm bringing up. But like with you, Doyle, it's straight up like not only the look, man, but the fitness, right? Like you're strong, you know, you're just a very concrete, strong, like persona, you know, and that's a dedication too. I mean, you've added this, you know, I wouldn't personally know if you're just naturally, you know, fit or like you work for it every day. I just don't know that personally, but regardless, to me, it just seems like the whole thing that you are, maybe you didn't even create it, maybe it's who you are, but like that's even a harder dedication, you know, being fit, staying in that zone for that character that you've created seems so, so, so intense.
It's very intense. It's a lot of work. You know, it's like, I put up, well, I call it clowning when I did the makeup. You know, that's what we call it.
It's good. It's good.
It's a good one, right? And then
I like it.
Yeah. The clothes I wear, well, the clothes I kind of don't wear, but I like, that's my super suit. You know, I'm in my Clark Kent right now, and I don't let nobody see me like that.
Yeah.
I don't want people to recognize me. I just want to be away from it all. When I'm like that, that's my super suit. And yeah, my whole personality changes. Everything changes. You know, it's like you're telling everybody exactly how you feel about them. You don't give a flying fuck. You know what I mean? You just start spitting out the truth.
Yeah. You
know? Like you said.
And you do, I mean, you do work for it every day. You work out.
Yeah, we work out every fucking day. And, you know,
On the other level, with the outfits that you pick, you know, to take it deeper, because I'm a lot like this. And I don't know, with you being a woman, you know, can I ask, like, I'll struggle with, like, body image. And you know, the press is hard. And, mm-hmm.
Right.
I'm bringing it up because, like, you know, I'm constantly constructing ideas, what to wear, what to put on. But then there's my human self that I can get in my head with, and the world wants to throw this body image thing and,
for sure,
and the pressures and these things. I bring it up because I know for a fact, you know, I feel like women, you know, it's hard, man. You can feel it. You can feel it in the temperature of the words the press uses and the mm-hmm. way they do things. You know, you know, if you don't mind me asking, how is that with you? How do you go about the things that you would like to do?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I think I'm getting better with dealing with that as I get older. It's crazy because the press and the media in general just treat women so differently than they treat men. And then on top of all that, I feel like I even get treated worse than an average woman. I get treated like less than a human, less than a woman, because I'm, I guess, a public figure. So now it's all compounded. It's, oh, well, they're celebrities, so we can say what we want. And she's a woman, so we can say what we want. And then it just keeps going. Like, articles and, you know, from whatever random websites that would grant anonymity to some women just won't grant me that and will just include my name when I have nothing to do with something, or you know, use terms that they wouldn't use for men. For sure, every time, and I've talked about this with the girls that I make my outfits with, because I always try to collaborate with and employ, you know, a a female, a woman who is running her own like one person business to make clothing. And I try to hook up with as many of them as I can because there's so many that are so talented. And I'll tell them, I'm like, you know what? I wish I could wear this, the initial sketch, but I can't because that's going to show too much skin. And then when I hear myself say that, I get grossed out because I'm like, okay, so if I'm covering up for fear of the judgment that will be bestowed upon me for showing skin, then that's just conceding to the rules even more. And that makes me feel more disgusting. So for sure, I get in my own head with that. There's, you know, I want something that makes me feel good and confident, but I don't want to be, you know, covering up for fear of, you know, sexual harassment, because that's going to happen anyways. And I don't want to be showing everything for fear of, you know, trying to use sex to sell things. But it's like, no matter what you do, if you are female, you will be accused of all of that and more. I mean, Doyle and I still laugh. And like 2 seconds ago when I said sex sells, I was making a joke that we have between us because Doyle literally hasn't had a shirt on in 40 years. Like he's literally been topless on stage his entire career. And I will wear an outfit that literally goes up to my neck, to my wrists, full pants to my feet. The only things showing are my hands and face. And I will get accused of using sex to sell things. And so it's just hilarious to me how that double standard works. Like I said, I think that I'm getting better at dealing with it as time goes on, because I also realize that, you know, I'm not the only one who deals with this. I have so many friends who are women in metal, in music, and we can kind of joke about it amongst ourselves and sort of commiserate a little bit. So yeah, I think I'm getting better at dealing with it, but it's absolutely something. And I would imagine also, like you said, it's not even only women. Anyone that kind of puts themselves out there, makes their ideas vulnerable by displaying them on their person in the form of a mask or an outfit or a way that you move on stage, you're making yourself vulnerable, but you're doing it because this is, you know, like you said, the shape that you want to be throwing out there while you're on stage. You want to project that image to accompany that song so that people get this full sensory attack and they experience this beautiful thing that couldn't happen with any other band at any other moment. And that's how I see our performances with Arch Enemy also. And unfortunately, not everybody gets it. Not everybody will always see that, but a lot of people do. And I think that's what keeps me going.
Well, that's wonderful. You know, that I think being aware of it and being honest with it is half the battle, if not more. But it's wonderful that you take it on with so much consideration, that, you know, you can look at it all ways and then get above it. It's one thing I want to, in my family, we have some things that roam around that territory, and I get disgusted with how human beings treat other human beings. And I always try to do my part with understanding empathy to its fullest and being able to like pass that along to where, like, I just don't understand why we feel like there's money in downgrading ourselves when we're all human, we're all female and male, and we all rock the same things. I feel like all of us are beautiful and ugly, and that's what makes us original. We got it both. And who really is beautiful and who really is ugly, if there's such a thing? It's all this
right
pre-made thing, this pre-made thing that we made for ourselves to write down and then start talking about. So I always try to do my part with, you know, who are these people in the press that get paid to talk shit and to motivate these ideas that are just incorrect? You know, they're not the ones on mm-hmm. stage. They're not the ones bearing their soul, giving the color, but they feel that their color in the words are some sort of art form, when really it's just, I don't know, it feels deranged, you know? It just feels like, why do we do that in the entertainment? Why the entertainment industry? Why is it so harassment on perfection when there's no such thing as perfectionism? It's one of the right. worst things to try and have, you know? So anyway, Thank you for that. I appreciate you sharing that. I think a lot of people will enjoy that. So what do you, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, no, I was just going to say, like, you know, what, just to close off on what you were just saying, I think we've come to a point with technology and with the internet where everybody is scrambling to kind of try to figure out what to do. It's almost like global communication exploded so quickly because of social media and because of the internet that we didn't have time to get everything caught up. And so, you know, magazines that used to potentially write really valuable pieces, well-researched, well-spoken, they kind of are being forced in a way to just go with whatever gets a click. So it's the same thing with, you know, YouTube videos or even like Instagram posts, whatever. Like, people are, they understand that the way that these algorithms work and they run on ads. I mean, all of that runs on ads. So if you get more clicks on your post or your article or your video, you get more AdSense money. And so a lot of people, unfortunately, after a certain point, yeah, you want to keep putting out valuable things. You want to be positive. You want to be constructive, but it looks like, well, oh, actually, if you create controversy, that makes people argue. And when people are arguing, they're watching it more and they're reading it more and they're sharing it more. And that brings in more AdSense. And so, you know, none of us are stupid. We know that's what they're doing. They're click, everything is a clickbait. Everything is clickbait.
It's like, wow, these guys were great. They were fantastic. What nice, but nobody wants to read that.
Yeah.
Why do why do we think that is, though? Why do we, I mean, if let's bring it into the animal world for a second. Let's just bring it into, like, actual animals, you know? Like, we're animals, you know, humans are animals. Why do we only want to focus, as you guys say, the argument? Why is this? Why do humans want to focus on the 50% of life destroying? Why is that the prerequisite? Why is that what we've chosen? When life is 50-50, there's on, there's off, there's yes, there's no, there's short, there's tall, you know, so on and so forth.
I mean,
but why is it?
Yeah.
You know, why, I mean, is it we are that way?
I think that, I mean, if I put some of my, I really love psychology and I love researching human psychology, and from my understanding, we are actually hardwired to focus on the negativity, and it's a survival mechanism. Because let's just say, again, let's bring ourselves to the animal kingdom. If everything's fine, there's nothing to worry about. But if there's a problem, let's say you're a squirrel and suddenly the tree's being cut down. Now there's a problem. All of your attention focuses on that negative situation because you're trying to solve it. And so we're hardwired to actually put all of our focus and attention onto negative things because we feel like we need to resolve it or solve it. Now with social media, that has led to people, rather than solving it, going into these herds, getting this herd mentality where they're like, well, I can't solve it, but this entire Facebook page or this entire group of people think the same thing as me, so I can just join with them. And now we created our own little echo chamber bubble where we spew the same hatred around and we reinforce each other's biases because we're in this little bubble that we think is real, but it's literally just a page. And so I think that along with the fact that, you know, ads on TV shows are not where people make money now. They make it on things that people click on websites, on YouTube, on social media, like I said. So they're not doing it for the love of the art of journalism necessarily. They're not doing it because they love metal or hate metal or whatever it may be. They're doing it because they know it's going to generate clicks. And now with the pandemic, honestly, there's no shows happening. I don't know what they're going to write about, but they're going to find something.
It's also a jealousy thing. I mean, I follow some kids on Instagram, you know, that are playing guitar, and all these people are ripping them up. They're good. These kids, they play better than me. You know,
and it takes guts to put yourself out there.
You know, they're just jealous.
Yeah.
Because they don't have the dedication and they won't put in the time and they don't have the talent, you know. And so they'll say, oh, yeah, you can't play. Or they'll tell me, oh, you're on steroids. Yeah, I've been working out for 46 years. You know,
if you were on steroids, you wouldn't fit through that door.
46 years.
I'd be a planet.
Well, that's interesting. That reminds me of something. You guys were just bringing up. Back in the day, before we were signed, We were kind of ahead of the curve a little bit with the website. We really made a lot of effort, and we had this thing called a guest book.
I remember
and
those.
It was a way. Yeah, right. And fans would write things. Well, I remember getting up every morning so excited, thinking that I would read positive, you know, comments on our music and, you know, our art. And I just remember how much hate there was, and I could identify the hate with jealousy, absolute jealousy. So what we did immediately, which I find is interesting because now you got all these algorithms and stuff, but what we did, Craig came up with a way, because he was the one doing the website, like the fundamental, well, like he made it, and then I would do the art, and then we would all do our stuff. But he came up with a way that the website program that he was using, he figured out that we could tell it to block certain words very simply. So, for instance, a lot of people would call me fat. So Craig took out the word fat. And then, you know, and then we took out all the words. We took out the word asshole, bitch, you know, motherfucker. We took out all of our names, even our last names. It got to a point where we probably had 500-600 words. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be honest. We had nothing but positive comments from that day on.
Right.
And we had to get involved, and we had to put down, you know, we had to lay a law for ourselves. We had to do the work. We opened it up for truth and love, and the world didn't want that. It came in hard right away. It came in ugly and judging. And so we had to do something about it. And that's how I feel now. I feel like we all have a responsibility, where I always felt like if you want to do an interview with me, back in the old days, I'd take Polaroids of people, and then I would record the interview, and I would get their email and phone number, and I would tell them on tape that if you paraphrase this and you make up your own story, like, I'm going to call you out. I'm going to give all the fans your email. I'm going to let them know about you, man, because that's not what I said. That's not what I'm trying to convey. Maybe I'm confusing. Maybe I'm all over the place. Maybe I got all these artistic schizophrenia thought processes and I'm talking too fast and no one understands. You want to make fun of me? Fine. Just write it down and let people decide on their own, but don't help them and insinuate. You're only here to take, you know, the good word. So, I feel like we're getting back to that time where almost, you know, if I'm going to go outside in public and I'm going to be held to literal things in life, the way I speak, the way, you know, I speak to women and act around women and men and in society, I feel like the same thing has to go for those who are trying to pull these cheap punches. They should be held responsible for the words, because those words get into fans' heads incorrectly, and it's not the right knowledge. And the right knowledge is power, and they're giving incorrect power.
Right. Yeah.
Sometimes the words are
wrong. Oh, always. You can even just omit a word or try to spin it to be the complete opposite of what it was. And like you said, it shouldn't have to be our responsibility. If I'm doing a promo tour, I'll sometimes do 20 interviews a day for weeks on end. It shouldn't be my responsibility to have to go and then vet all of the interviews to make sure that they didn't misquote me or paraphrase me, you know? But unfortunately, it's almost like there needs to be someone to do that. But I will say that I think that this problem is just so abundant that it may become its own solution, because we are so flooded nowadays with misinformation and misquotes and everything. You know, you can look up one thing and think it's an absolute truth, and then look up the complete polar opposite and read something that makes that seem like an absolute truth. So we're so flooded with misinformation nowadays that I think that people's gullibility is getting weaker, I hope, and that people are becoming a little bit more versed in critical thinking and being able to sort of suss out what's true, what's opinion, what's fact.
Well, what I agree with you. What do we do, the three of us? What's our response? I always feel like I got to talk about these things because I feel like if we talk about it, you know, our cultures will talk about it, and they're the ones we have to put stock in. Because as there's, you know, obviously as there's bad people, there's awesome people, and maybe the awesome people come up with a new way of helping this out, making everybody responsible for their actions and what they say. I mean, we're being held responsible for almost everything we think and do in this world these days. Why shouldn't people who try to spread this kind of drama, why shouldn't they be held responsible?
Yeah, well, because they're behind a screen and nobody knows who they are.
Yeah.
So.
They
never say anything to your face. Nobody ever does.
Right. And in person, everyone's really super cool.
Yeah, I never get anybody telling me I suck or nothing.
Yeah. In person, everyone's great.
Yes. Well, let's change gears. What do you guys got going on? What are you guys doing these days? Are you taking time and relaxing? You writing? You pick up new hobbies? What's going on?
Today I'm sampling new hot sauces for my hot sauce line. I didn't sample the really hot one before this because the one before was giving me the hiccups, and it would have just choked me right the fuck out. And we're writing a lot and recording.
Yeah.
You know, I just came out with a protein line.
Yeah, what is it called?
It's called Vegan Monster Protein. I'm drinking one right now.
Mine's in the fridge. And what's your hot sauce called?
My hot sauce is called Made in Hell Hot Sauce. And we're sampling two more hotter flavors right now.
Yeah, same. I'm writing, you know, I have obviously new Arch Enemy music to work on and a solo project that I'm doing. So all year I've kind of just been working on writing music, you know, kind of keeping creative, like you said, painting, making new outfits, taking photos, planning out some stuff for next year. Just sort of keeping extremely busy as a way to cope with the obvious apocalyptic reality that we all live in.
Yeah, it's strange times. I will tell you, though, I feel very early on when it all started, I don't really get on the internet much because it just disappoints me all day long. So it's like yeah. Very early, there were a lot of pop stars that just went right in for themselves. And it was just ugly. You know, I felt like it was too soon. Like, this is a worldly thing, you know, and it's like, You can't like dive in and make it about you when it's about everyone, you know? And yeah. It just, to me, in my opinion, it just got lost in translation. But I feel, you know, I feel like right now is the best time to like pull in and take a deep breath. Life will find a way. I mean, you know, I don't know what the time frame is, but I don't feel like there's any real reason to have theory or worry because it's just all as it came in, it's going to go out. Life mm-hmm. has to find a way, but I feel like it's such a great time to learn, relax, catch up on sleep, make art. I mean, it's cool to hear that you got a solo project. I mean, I'm sure that's, you know, what's that about? Can you share about that a little bit?
Yeah. So, obviously I tour a lot with Arch Enemy, like not normally in a normal year, we would be doing hundreds and hundreds of shows per year. And with Arch Enemy, I basically do screams, you know, I'm growling. That's the type of vocal that I do. But I actually do clean vocals a lot too. And not that many people know that. I've done a lot of guest appearances with other bands and other artists where I use that clean voice, but I don't really use it that much in Arch Enemy. So the solo thing is kind of just giving me an outlet to do basically any type of vocal acrobatic that I want to do, whether it be, you know, blues style singing, which I have a guest thing coming out soon like that, which is pretty cool. Rock singing, power metal singing, opera singing, like basically the idea is that it's a way for me to kind of get my musical rocks off in any way that I want. and it's like just separate from Arch Enemy. So I don't have to go in and like dilute Arch Enemy or change what that's about, because that wouldn't be right either. So it's basically something that I kind of just have as this ongoing project that I've been working on anytime I had time off from Arch Enemy touring, which was basically no time until this year. So I've been working a lot on it this year, and recording in a home studio that I built. And yeah, so far I really like it, and I'm looking forward to finishing it up.
That sounds, I love that. That sounds fun and intimate. And you guys aren't going to believe this. I promise you, I'm not lying. It's so weird. Like, it seems like all artists like are on the same level of interest. I swear. Just before I came here, first of all, I'm in my car because I live out in the woods, apparently, and I can't get phone service or internet at my
Doyle.
House.
Doyle does that too when he's in New Jersey.
Yeah, but I pay my taxes, the water comes in, the electricity comes out, the sewage goes out, everything happens, but I can't get on a phone, I can't do anything, so the electric theater rolls around a little bit and does things where I know I can have these conversations. But right before I got into the car, I had a little situation happening, and that was, I was cutting up Anaheim peppers because I've been making hot sauce for the last 3 weeks.
Okay.
And I was cutting up these Anaheim peppers, and my wife and I both didn't think they were as hot as they were, and she was having a hard time breathing and coughing.
Oh no!
And I didn't wash my hands, and I went to the bathroom, and I'm like, we got a situation. I'm like, we got a situation happening here. So like, she's like, I can't breathe, and I'm like, I need to wash my hands. Night I made a bunch of habanero. Yeah, it was crazy, but I've been making a lot of hot sauce. I make a lot of alcohol. Like, I infuse stuff, and then I'll take the fruit after, you know, I'll let it sit, and then I'll take the fruit, like pineapple, and then I'll make it into a hot sauce. This summer I grew a garden with like 80% of it was just peppers, because I grew up with all these Asian guys. And they just got me addicted to hot peppers when I was young. So this, when it all started, I was like, this is the perfect chance for me to garden. And, you know, everyone got mad because I did really well at gardening, but I just didn't make anything anybody wanted to eat. I made just peppers. So that, I love that name, Made in Hell. That's awesome. That's, that's great.
I'll have some sent to you. It's really good.
Yeah, and I'm going to do the same. I'm a little bit of ways, but like basically what I'm doing right now is I got a small batch of whiskey that I'm making, and I'm like trying to perfect a hot sauce with our whiskey. And when I say perfect, I'm not just like technically thinking I'm going to sell it. I love hot sauce and I love, you know, whiskey. And it's like, I enjoy cooking, learning. You know, my wife's like a really good cook, and she teaches me things. And I'm interested in the process of, like, you know, hey, you got to do something. Like last night, I kind of figured out this idea that they explain. You know, cook the habaneros in an olive oil first to break down the peppers before you add the sugar. And so I'm like trying all these different ways, and I'm trying to find my way of like what I want to bring to the world. I want to bring my thing, but it's not really for sale. But what I'm saying is, when I perfect it for my palate, I'll send you guys some hot sauce as well. And, I love it. So I can't wait to try it. Is this something new, hot sauce, or?
The Made in Hell. I've been making for, I don't know, maybe 8 years. Finally going to like a factory to have it made now and mass produce it. So we're coming up with the other two hot flavors, you know. And we're probably going to do a green sauce and maybe another kind of hot sauce. You know, we're going to make a whole bunch. So I only sell things that I want, like protein powder, hot sauce, guitars. I just, you know. Any piece of merch I have,
your powder is really cool. Earlier, I saw a picture of your the container. I love the I like the visuals on it. I'm a fond, you know, I love it when fundamental things, like I grew up going into a what are they called, GNCs, what are the,
yeah,
the corporate, yeah, so I would go in there when I was younger to get amino acids to work out and stuff. But like, you know, I mean, imagine this, I'm a kid, I walk in, the whole corporate world looks one way, but I walk in, I see yours, who am I buying? I'm buying yours.
That's what I said.
And it's funny that you point that out. Yeah, because
it's true, because we're the same culture, and
yeah,
he, yeah. Doyle, you're proving to me just by looking at you, I'm like, this guy's fit, right? You know, it's like, I, you know, exactly. Strong. And if I walk in and I look at the corporate world, I'm so bored. And in fact, I can't tell you how many times I walk out of stores like that, because it's just too overwhelming. It doesn't make any sense to my creative brain. I'm not a scientist. I need it spelled out. And if I saw Doyle packaging, I'd be like, that's what I need to do right there.
That's why, because we made the label. We made the package.
Yeah.
Doyle actually like wrote out the letters for the vegan monster protein by hand. Like I have the paper here where he drew it out with a pencil, and I'm pretty okay with graphic design. So I put together the rest of the label, and what you said was exactly what we were thinking when we made it. We were like, this has to represent who Doyle is. It has to represent, you know, this kind of lifestyle, this culture. And so that's why we made the label that way. And like you were saying about your work, we put lots of attention into all the little details, like this holographic metallic paper, so that the lighter values on the print show up in this kind of like glowing way, and it changes colors as you turn the container. So yeah, we pay attention to that shit.
Yeah, you can tell it looks I mean, you know, even going back to your outfits, all that stuff. I mean, Doyle, your eye to detail to most might be like the Kiss thing, you know, like you're dedicated to the thought process. But that detail almost becomes overwhelming because of the consistency of it being the same thing. You have to keep sharp on your eye for detail, I imagine, because if you get loose, I hate to use the word lazy, but if you were to get lazy with it, everyone in the world would know by the smallest detail, you know, like if your hair was a little bit over on your right, if your hair was a little bit over on your right eye, yeah, people would be like, no.
And now I got to look like a fucking action figure 24 hours a day for the rest of my life.
That's hardcore, man. You know, that a lot of people don't understand. Like, they might think that's easy. We grew up, obviously, the very first band that I was old enough to tell my mom I wanted, we were in a mall. My mom was holding my hands, and we were walking by a store, and I pointed to an album, and it was Kiss Dynasty. And I was like, she was like, do you want this? And I was like, I think, you know, I was so young. So then my dad bought me Kiss Alive 2 the next day, and I saw Gene Simmons in the back with the, you know, the sweat and the blood. And I was like, this is who I am. I'm like,
Kiss Alive 1. I'm down the fucking shore, and I'm winning albums, and I look at the cover, and I won the album, and I held it. And every time I held it, I'm like, I want to be this. This is what I want to be.
I mean, most of us probably have that story, and here I am. Here both of us are. Now I vowed in the beginning of Slipknot that the clown has a story from the beginning to the end, and I can't really give it away until it's all over, when it's over, how it's over. But like, there's this thing that's happening through the characters, and it's all part of a story. And I think people are really going to be interested when they find out why things are the way they are. And I got that way because I was like, there's no way in hell I'll be able to be the OG clown mask my whole career. I just, there's no way, because I'm too flighty and I'm too moody and I go all over the place and I get interested in other things, and I got to be able to paint. I got to be able to paint differently all the time. So that's why I was like, my details got to be in changing. As I see like all your outfits, like literally I was just studying them and I was like, wow, you know, there's this, and then this outfit's a little reminiscence of this, but she took this further and honed this idea in, and maybe this is the best of that idea that took a year. So I think we're really lucky. I think we're all three very lucky to express the personalities that we get to and how we do. And I think you're right to bring it back full circle, like kind of before we like end this thought process, but like to bring it back full circle, I always believe, you know, like when you see someone like Jimmy Page on stage, you know, he's just flamboyant rock star, you know, you're just like, whoa. And I just could never get interested. I'm not degrading people that just want to wear, you know, jean shorts or, you know, some jeans or something. I mean, to each their own. Everyone has a voice. But I always felt like rock and roll, you said it very early, Doyle, I got to be able to pick you apart from everyone else that's in here. And right now, we're in an arena with 12,000 people. I want to know you're the guitar player. I don't want you to look like someone that's three rows behind me. That's just me, though. You know what I mean? I felt like I always needed... Yeah, that always spoke to me in rock and roll. You know, that always interests me to be able to hone in on someone's personality. Jimi Hendrix. I mean, what an insane, like, personality he had with the clothes he wore and just his style and all that, you know. Well, before we say goodbye, I mean, what do you have scheduled that's different than we talked about for the near future? Do you have anything that's actually booked? Could be, you know, something like the Electric Theater. It doesn't necessarily have to be a show or some of the things you're doing, but I mean, what is in the future that you are working towards that you feel confident that you're going to be doing?
Well, for me, I have, luckily, I'm very lucky that I have this. I have a Patreon page that I do, and that's a way that I actually am able to keep in touch with fans and I do like virtual meet and greets every month. So the kind of meet and greet that we would normally do in person at every show, I just get to do it in a live stream every month. And I also get to share other music ideas there, poetry, kind of muse with them a little bit. And that motivates me to keep going, like keep thinking of new merch ideas, new outfit ideas, collaborations, cover songs. That really, really motivates me. And it's actually an amazing platform for artists right now, because obviously none of us can tour right now. And so this allows us to sort of maintain that bond with the fans and also stay motivated and stay supported by the fans so that we can keep making music and kind of just sustain ourselves until this pandemic is over. So that's kind of, that takes up a good chunk of my time and I work on that. And then you...
Tell me just real quick, just to expand on that, and then Doyle, you tell us, but this is like, I go out and I watch a lot of conspiracy with Sasquatch. I'm like a big...
You found him.
That's me. He's been here.
We're gonna have to have a separate conversation about this, but I follow this guy. His name's Thinker Thunker, and he always talks about his Patreon page. And I'm gonna be honest with you, I don't know anything about it. I know that most of the conspiracy people that I follow, I know they are all like, hey, to do this work that I do for you that you enjoy takes time. Mm-hmm. You could go check out my Patreon page and help me. And I've always wanted to look at it, but I let things find me. So please, right now, how to get to your Patreon page. Tell us what that is, and then explain it to all of us. I mean, believe it or not, I let things find me, and then I go.
It finding you, yeah. This is Patreon finding you. So my Patreon page is patreon.com/AlisaWhiteGloves. It's pretty easy. It's also linked in my bio on my Instagram. And so basically Patreon is a different kind of social media, to put it very simply. It's a membership platform where you can follow artists that you like. Any type of creator. You could be a painter, a yoga instructor, a musician, a model, a YouTube creator, a conspiracy theorist, a researcher, a scientist. Literally anything that you do that you feel has value, you can do it on Patreon, let people know about it, and then those people that do, that agree that your work has value can then contribute. So they can give you $1, they can give you $20, they can give you $100, whatever they feel is comfortable for them and is that, and that correlates to how much they value your work, they can contribute to you. And so in the platform, it's made super streamlined so that it's all like taken care of in a very easy way. But on top of that, they also gain access to benefits. So you decide if somebody contributes this amount, well, then they get a piece of art from me. Or if somebody contributes this amount, they get exclusive merch, or they get a video greeting, or whatever you want. And so, you know, in the case of, like you said, the conspiracy kind of guy that you watch, I'm sure that he spends hours and hours and hours researching these topics and then putting together videos or podcasts and editing it all. And I mean, people don't realize it's like making an album. Like there's hundreds and hundreds of hours for dozens of people that are all done basically for free, just to make that album that unfortunately now also goes out for free because everybody streams it. So then we were like, okay, well, we'll just tour, but now we can't even tour. So basically Patreon is a way that people can kind of, rather than fighting this culture that we now have where nobody owns anything, but people are comfortable being on this month-to-month membership thing. I mean, people do it for all sorts of things. They pay every month for Spotify. They pay every month for Netflix. This is a way that they can actually pay every month for artists that they like. And that way those artists can continue to make that kind of, those kind of creations happen. And I know you've been there, I've been there, we've all been there, where we were starting out in our band and working 9 to 5 and then going to band practice from 6 to 10 and then losing our job because we had a 5-day tour that was just so important that we didn't want to that you pay to do that. You work that job to pay for the 5-day tour that you had a total attendance of 80 people across all 5 shows, you know, but we've all done that. And the thing is, when you get to a certain point, you're like, well, damn, I work 9 to 5. And when am I supposed to write new music now, actually? Like, when is the new album cover supposed to get made? When, you know, there's just not enough time in the day. And so the reason that I love Patreon as a platform is because all that shit we said earlier about clickbait, it's anti that. Instead of selling you something that will just grab your attention and take up your time and basically treat you like a fool by using your time to divert your attention towards advertisements, it doesn't do that. It's straightforward. It honestly says, if you like this, please feel free to contribute to it in any way that you feel comfortable. And sorry, did we lose? Did we lose the connection?
No. Okay, I had to sneeze. Okay. I
had to
sneeze. I muted it real quick.
No problem.
I got Anaheim pepper everywhere. Yeah. I've been dying the last hour, but I'm dealing with it. I'm sorry. Go, keep going.
No, yeah. So it's just I just love how direct and honest it is. It just says straightforward, we're not gonna waste your time. We're not gonna treat you like the product, which is what most social media does. If you're not paying for it, you're the product. Patreon says, no, we're not going to do that to you. We're going to be straightforward. If you like this and you can contribute something, please do. It immensely supports this creator and their ability to continue to create and make art that you appreciate. If you can't contribute, you can still follow along. So it's really a pretty novel idea. And this year, because we're all stuck at home, it's been gaining a lot of traction, and I really feel like it might actually be just the solution to all the problems that the music industry has in terms of artists being fairly compensated.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a very obscure business to briefly speak about, but I imagine that the mindset is to the general public that maybe it's grandiose in all ways because of the way it looks. But, you know, like I've always said, doing what we do, you have to be a pirate. And, you know, just start right there. Just start right there. Go look up pirates and just see how it is. You know, I mean, it's really, 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 really hard work. I mean, I just, when I'm told I got to like fly to like Japan, I can't wait to get there. But man, it is just brutal on the body. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's expensive. It's like, you know, there's a lot of things to think about to do what we do. And you're absolutely right. It's there's a lot of hours. You can't force art. You can't force color. Yeah. And you can't force, you know, you can't force dreams. You got to let them take their course and you got to let them saturate your mind the way you do. So, yeah, I'm going to, I've always been interested. Like I said, this gentleman that I follow, Thinker Thunker, he'll take people's clips of Sasquatch, and then he won't try to prove them real or fake. He's just an expert in like Photoshop and Premiere and film and like big production stuff. So he can use all those programs, and then he'll do all these height and weight and like he'll do all these things to leave it to you to decide, is this fake or is this real? And the hours that, I mean, I work on similar programs and I can see how many hours he has in doing what he's doing. And it takes mm-hmm. numerous of art, you know, and he's probably got a family and a job and like, you know, he's doing it because he loves it. But, you know, anything worth doing is worth doing for money in order to stay alive in this world. Right. So, anyway, so Doyle, what do you have planned just past this?
I make my own guitars, so it's all my design, the whole thing, and working on that right now. And I got some like summer festivals booked, Wacken and Rebellion Fest.
Resurrection Fest. Which is the last time I played with Slipknot, I think, was Resurrection Fest, actually.
Yeah, you know, but okay. I had some stuff booked for March in Australia, but I'm guessing that's not happening, you know, so
we'll see.
And right now I'm just making products. I'm working on another protein flavor, the guitars, more hot sauce, you know.
I'm writing.
I'm recording. I think I'm on the 14th song right now. I got like 20 written and I'm so backed up on them, you know, but now with all this time off, they're recorded to be, you know, put out, you know. I recorded them.
Yeah,
you
know, ready to mix.
They're not just demos. They're like ready to go.
Well, that sounds good. Well, it's good. I mean, I think all of us that are like us, you know, we stay in it. You know, we stay in the pool of imagination. That's the only way I can get by all day long is I just live in my own imagination. And I do my best to just stay out of the world of, I let my wife educate me because she's not going to bullshit me and she's going to tell me the truth. She likes to go on and read all the stuff and then she'll educate me. So I just know the facts, but like I get really depressed and my empathy meter starts getting whacked out because I start feeling bad about this world we live in. And so I avoid the internet and the news as much as I can, because like right now there just seems to be this theme where everybody's right because everybody's wrong and everyone's talking over everybody. Everybody's interrupting. And it's just like a big mess. And I just, it really messes with my vibe of life. And so I'm just spending a lot of time outside as much as I can. We got a couple new puppies and they're just handing our ass though. I'm 51 years old. It's probably a mistake. It's probably a big mistake because they are just running us. I mean, running us. Like
we just got a cat that's running us too.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I was just not prepared, but they're the love of our eye right now. But anyway, well, hey, I'm so very thankful you guys took time out today to talk to me. I really appreciate it. I really enjoyed this. And like I tell everybody, you know, what I really want this show to be about is, you know, making sure that we all catch up again sometime in the not so near future, you know, just to get together again. And then also, when we can, I want to take it into the in-person thing. So if we're out on tour and we can make a little time to take it to the personal level, eye to eye, that's kind of where I'm trying to take all this. So I just want to tell you guys, thank you. And, you know, let's always keep it open to talk again. And I appreciate it. And I hope everything goes well. I can't wait to try the
hot
sauce.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. And I'm going to check out Patreon today. And I'm going to can't wait to hear your solo album. And I'll keep up for that. And I'll check out. I'll definitely get that protein out here. My son, Simon, he gets a lot of that stuff and works out. And I guarantee you, I'm going to take him in to a store that it's in. Is it going to be in some stores?
We are just trying to get in with this distributor right now. You know, since this whole COVID shit happened, it's the big distributors are having problems and everything. But we're trying to get it in all the stores right now.
I can't wait till it comes out. I'm going to take my son in. I'm going to prove your theory correct because he's going to walk in. Going to look at a bunch of stuff and he's going to grab that one and be like, this is it. it's going to be cool. All right. Be good. Be safe out there. And we'll talk soon.
Okay.
Sounds good. Thanks, man.
All right. Peace. Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Bye.